T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You think Loria shows up to Art Basel?
Yes.
Really?
That's like his wheelhouse. Well, he might be in Paris or something, spending that billion.
Yeah, but it's Art Basel's, what, once a year? He's got to make the trip down. Do you think he comes down here anymore?
Think he just sit, you think he ever just sits outside of Marlins Park just mad at Jeets? Could have been me. Why is he moving the fences in, boys? He lost last night to the Boston Celtics. Tough one on the chin, boys. 112-93. Jimmy Butler had a game high of 37 points. He wasn't very happy after the game. As you were watching the game unfold, Leroy, I could sense Jimmy was irked.
He was getting hot.
I could sense that he was irked. He was yelling at Tyler. This comes off the day where he scolded Duncan Robinson. And then Kendrick Nunn gets taken out of the game, and Kendrick Nunn's been abysmal. It's been a rough go.
Yeah, but like that happens.
It does happen. Like, I'm just saying what
like,
it is.
I know. Like, you have to, like, especially with young players, like, it's okay to get on them, but everybody doesn't handle like Mario Chalmers.
No, Mario Chalmers was Teflon.
Right. Mario but everybody's not like that. Like, everybody has a unique personality that mm-hmm. some people fold up. Like, they just go into a shell when you yell. So, you as a leader of the team, or sometimes as a coach, you got to kind of know what buttons to push for certain players.
But there's also got to be a sense from a guy who's a veteran that he knows if they get that win, like, he feels like that's a real statement.
Okay, but but there's a bigger picture here. Okay, because with young guys, you know they're going to hit that wall, and you need to help them fight through it, and you need to help them be ready for the stretch run. So although this win would have been big and it would have made a statement, it's only game 20-something, mm-hmm. and you need to put it in perspective. And so I'm not saying that any of that was but look, he knows the relationship he has with those guys.
Right.
And so he knows how he could go at them, right? So I leave that up to him, but I'm just saying that everybody's different.
The point where he goes, when he finally gets a pass to for an open three, he goes just, thank you, right after right. Kendrick Nunn gets taken off the court, it said something to me. I was like, oh, Jimmy's just not having it tonight.
He just gets, look, man, he's a competitor.
He is.
And sometimes those personalities rub people the wrong way. It doesn't bother me. Because if dude is all about winning, that's all you should care about. And the guys on the team, they get along. So one of the things I love about sports, unlike any other profession, right, that if you have a good bond on your team and with your teammates, you can hold them accountable.
Well, one of the things that I like about it, though, is you brought this guy in here, and you know, you guys have talked about being the match made in heaven, and that Jimmy's for the culture, and he's perfect fit for you, you're perfect fit for him, and all that. You do have to take what his standards are, and so whereas maybe we're and not everybody reacts the same way. Like I remember, as his career went on, when you would take losses like this, be like, yeah, it's you make or miss league, you're gonna have rough nights. Boom, that's it.
Right.
But Jimmy is getting this place where
personal.
He knows
it almost seems personal.
Yeah, because everybody, I'm sure he knows of everybody saying, oh, he went to Miami and that means he doesn't really care about winning because he didn't stick with the Philadelphia 76ers. When right. he's telling you, I remember he had a quote after the game against Toronto where he's like, I really only believe that we can beat ourselves. And when you go and you turn the ball over like you did, I'm sure he still feels that way, that they beat themselves in some way. Even though, look, Boston played a good game and they were disruptive right. and they clamped down.
Right.
But in his mind, he feels like this is a team that hasn't hit their ceiling yet, and he don't want to hear about all that 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 back-to-back stuff, even though that was getting teed up for all the players yesterday because they're like, hey, overtime loss.
And that's a spoke thing,
through customs.
Too, right? One of the things that I like is that he also held himself accountable.
Yep.
Because he said, if I'm going to be a leader on this team and I'm turning the ball over too much, I can't get on anybody else about turning the ball over. So we all have to do something about that. And so when you have a guy who is accountable for his actions, it makes it easier to hold others accountable.
It is interesting though, like how much this team has been able, you've been able to just in the early goings of these 21 games,
mm-hmm.
you've been able to basically predict pretty closely what every game was going to be and like what their chances really are, because mm-hmm. all of their losses are so damn similar. They're in the same scenarios, and basically at home they've done the same thing to every team because they've taken on terrible competition.
Right. Is you know, is that a good thing?
I don't know.
Like I think they're gonna have to be a couple of these games like this that they win. Right, where you can't go into a game and say, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't think they have a good chance. They're going to have to start winning a couple of these games. It's just the nature of it. You right. know, if you want to be considered one of the top teams in the East, you're going to have to pull some of these games out.
Yeah, and 2-3 on a road trip where you're taking on three winning teams, it was a good road trip. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I just think it's interesting that Jimmy Butler's like, yeah, it was a good road trip, but I wanted to be greedy. Like, I wanted all of them.
Right, sure, why not? Once you win the first two, The bar changes. The bar changes because now you're like, okay, we made a statement. We wanted to come out here and win a majority of the games, but we won the first two. Now, let's go out and win all of them.
We'll talk to Ira Winneman at the top of next hour. Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
As you guys already talked about, schedule loss last night from the Miami Heat to the Boston Celtics, 112 to 93. Jimmy Butler did have 37 points, but he was not happy after the game. Jaylen Brown, he could not be stopped for the Celtics, 31 points, and Kemba Walker added 28 points as well. And not another bad game for Kendrick Nunn, as you guys talked about.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I don't want to just pick on Kendrick because like Bam didn't play a great game. Justice didn't play a great game either. Kelly Olynyk was their second leading scorer with 12 points. Like nobody really otherwise had a good game other than Jimmy Butler
mm-hmm.
that you could really point to. So it's not to pick on Kendrick Nunn, but Kendrick Nunn, because he was Rookie of the Month, and now you're starting to see this little five game stretch where he's struggling so much. It just is very clear, and I think a lot of people are going to look to Kendrick because of Deion being active again and say, well, Deion does what he does, but he's
it's only
active.
You.
No, it's not. It's
really?
Not. It's not just me. All
right.
I don't bring things up out of nowhere. You think I just pull these things out of the sky? I do think though that he's feeling the pressure of Deion Waiters being active.
See, I don't think so.
I do.
I think
so. Well, last guy wrote about it. What else you got, Robbie?
Here is Jimmy Butler specifically on the team's performance last night.
We didn't play together on either end, man. On defense, on offense. That's not how we've been winning games. You know, it's one that we really wanted to win because I feel like we could have proved to ourselves how good of a basketball team that we are. I feel like we took a step back to the drawing boards.
So they'll be back in action on Friday where they host Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards.
Will Spo be back for Friday?
I don't know. I don't know if
Jimmy Butler to miss for three games.
I don't know. I don't know if something tells me Spo is going to be back. I don't know. But
it's kid number two.
Well, was Jimmy Butler's kid born in Miami? I don't know that.
Yeah, because it was all of it. We were all shocked when he wasn't playing for
it was
the
all,
opener.
Yeah, it was all a secret. Like, the Spolstras live down here, so I don't know if Eric's going to feel like this need to go away.
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't know. Spo's also the one who encouraged Jimmy Butler to take paternity leave. He says, you're not going to get these moments back. Go be with your kid being born. You don't need to come to opening night against the Grizzlies.
And I'm pretty sure that was kid number one for Jimmy Butler, if I'm guessing.
Hold on. Because this sounds like you with Adam Gase.
Yeah. Let me hear.
Years ago. Just a matter of time, and not if, but when, Butler starts wearing on everybody. I'm a diehard Heat fan, but y'all being fooled by Jimmy Butler. Dude hasn't won a damn thing, and every team he's been on, he's had issues with his teammates. Butler is that look at me trying really hard guy.
But he does really try hard. Like, it's tough to like look at me try hard guy who puts up 37 when everybody else is dinging up the joint. Like, I don't know. It's like off the back to back where he has a triple double and a win in overtime against the Raptors.
I would say I can explain it this way. If he's a high energy, high effort guy and demands that of everyone else, is that a bad thing? You know, because most of the time when we look at guys that are doing the things like Jimmy does, we would always say, you know what? He's pointing finger at other people, but he's not taking responsibility for his own actions.
Honestly, dude, I'm happy to have this accountability in the locker room. What have I been railing on the last 3 years with this team?
No, sure.
Fat cat syndrome.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if I can understand, like, if he plays a certain way all the time and he demands that you bring that same effort, is that a bad thing? That's not a bad thing. It's not. You know, so many times we're afraid, you know, to require or demand that somebody do something a certain way, partly because we won't do it that way.
Well, the other thing is, okay, let's I know it looks bad you play on four teams in 2 years, but like, look at this. It's not like in Chicago they just got to a point where they were rebuilding. It's not like he wore out his welcome in Chicago.
They hated D-Wade too, so
yeah, and like, if he's best friends with D-Wade and Joel Embiid loves him, so the best players on the team love him. Like, do you care what the scrubs think about him?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, am I gonna dictate Jimmy Butler and his reputation simply because Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins soft as hell?
Right. No. I'm not, like, again, I'm not knocking him for any of it. I think that, look, at some point, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins are going to have to play playoff basketball. And that's a little rough and tumble. That's a little more physical. That is a half-court offense. That's not that, you know, I can score 30 points and run up and down the floor. No, that's not that style of basketball. It slows up a little bit, and you're going to have some intestinal fortitude to get through some of these moments in the playoffs.
Right.
And so you need that. You need that kind of accountability so that you can get through it. So the fact that they are millennials and feel offended or got hurt feelings because somebody demands that they bring it, that's on them.
I also believe that there's a thing with Jimmy is, and because I do think that there was some tension between Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons. I don't think anything has just been flatly reported, but if you like read some of the quotes and on both sides, you could tell like that wasn't the best. Like him and Joel are super cool, and they love each other. They're BFFs. But Ben Simmons and him, nah.
I can tell. I probably think about this. You talking about a guy who says he gets up at
3:30 in the morning.
3:30 in the morning workout, buzz his ass for, and he's had to work his way back from, you know, work his way up to where he is.
Yeah.
Now you got a guy who they treat like a god in Philly.
What's
and he
done?
Can't shoot. He can't shoot.
And
so,
think about it.
So imagine you coming into an environment with how hard you worked to get to that point, and you see a kid that everybody treats the same way they treat you, but he can't shoot as a basketball player.
And if he did, that would mean he'd have maybe riffs with three guys who are number one overall picks. And he's not a number one overall pick.
No.
He's a bottom of the draft guy who built himself up to this.
Right. And if you look at, you know, guys who weren't drafted high up in the draft in any sport, they all have that kind of mentality, right? They usually do.
Well, yeah, because it's like you look at these guys. We're so quick to crown these guys, these young guys, because they go and light up and put big numbers like Devin Booker or Trae Young. It's like, yeah, Trae Young's 5-17. Now, some guys deserve it. Like Luka Doncic, he deserves it. Everything that he's getting right now, because his team is excellent. He's an MVP candidate.
Right.
So you want to give all the praise you want to Luka Doncic, go ahead. Go ahead. But like Trae Young, oh, he's lighting it up. He's the next Steph Curry. It's like, okay, but they're 5-17. And it's like, Philadelphia, it's like, okay, but can you hold a winning record for more than 2 weeks ever in your career? But all these guys, they get $100 million contracts right off the jump. And if you're Jimmy Butler, you're like...
That's part of the reason why, like, when you try to have this conversation with them, right, about what needs to be done and holding them accountable, it's our fault, okay? Because we take the amount of money they make and we put that on how we should treat them.
Yeah.
And as far as Jimmy's like, the money don't mean nothing. You're a member of this team. This is what I'm going to demand of you. I don't care if you make $100,000 or $100 million. And so a lot of guys making all that money, again, that's guaranteed money, right? They don't have to deal with that. Like, I already got the money. I'm the star.
Yeah, and one of the things, like, I heard Bradley Beal in an interview with Woj where he's like, well, what is one of the things that made you want to stay with Washington, even though Washington sucks? And he's just like, well, I have a different power here than I do in other places. It's like, all right, well, if that's a priority for you, cool, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Like, you can't – look, if he were to go join up with somebody else, Bradley Beal, he's the guy having the conversations with the other guys. Going into a place and now the other guy is looking at you like you were looking at your teammates and you make $100 million. It rubs some people the wrong way. Like, you know, again, whenever we see sports, we put the money out there first, not the talent, not the ability, not the work. And so I think that if they didn't tell you how much they made and you just assumed they made a lot of money, you would treat them differently. Because guess what? You talk about a max player differently than you talk about a guy that's on a two-way contract.
Yep.
Even though the talent could be not like the money. For example, Hassan. All right? As soon as Hassan start making that money, you start treating him like a max guy when maybe he never was a max guy. He just got paid max money because that's what people were offering.
Maybe, but also I do think the money changes some guys too. I think Hassan gets that max money and then is expected that he's going
to
be the franchise
player
forever.
Something to be said about guaranteed money, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're in a job that's guaranteed where you're going to get paid regardless. You're going to walk around, like, you know, you're going to put it out there a little bit.
I'll tell you what, it was nice to hear some props for one Heat guy from a guy I think a lot of Heat Nation doesn't like very much, but one of the Heat's top players got a lot of praise yesterday. We'll get to that next.
Hey, this is our Basil music. Feel like I should be looking at a banana taped to a wall right now.
Yes, welcome to Art Basil. We have Art Basil. It's taken over our parking lot here at the building. I've put on my Instagram page, @Brennan_Tobin. You guys can see it there. Just some of the ridiculous art pieces we got going on. I don't want to dismiss all art. Some artists are super talented. It's beautiful work that they do. Some of this stuff at Art Basel, though, is wacky. Like, there's legit a dumpster that is just filled with patio furniture. And that's a piece of art. And I don't get it. We have one that's just a piece of plywood painted completely black. Then there's a piece... Did you notice in the midst of the parking lot, there's like a wood shop table? Is that art, or is there construction going on here?
Is that the prep area?
I don't know. I'm confused, Robbie.
I don't understand, like, what
everything
they...
Everything is art.
Life is art.
What? I don't understand, like, could you imagine, like, me and you sitting and discussing what we're going to do for Art Basel, then ending up with what we see downstairs?
What do you think it takes to make it as an... Like, is that all just for display? Like, what does it take to make it as an artist these days?
You ready? Somebody to buy your work.
Like, you just need one rich loophole.
Once your work is bought,
some guy who has a narwhal swimming in his koi pond,
some gallery to display your art.
It's crazy to me, but you guys can check that out on my Instagram page @Brennan_Tobin. We also have our own Art Basel piece, which is known as cough buttons. it's an original piece.
You know what I should do? I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get a chain. And I'm gonna put
the cough button on the end of the chain.
Do you think we should take the cough buttons in their boxes? Do you think we should make them like a tower, Like
they are a tower right outside the door.
No, but they look just like generic box like boxes stacked right now. Like, what if we made them a castle?
Yeah, a cough button pyramid. Yeah,
yeah. Just
we call
we'll switch
this,
it up every day. See if anybody notices.
We call this like Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. So this is cool. I was watching. I wanted to see after the Toronto win, and I realized, look, it's not like we're ignoring the heat loss. We just spoke about it for 20 minutes, but this was cool. So after the Toronto win. We had TNT going on. It was a Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck night.
Contributing to the ratings, by the way.
Yeah. And so, wanted to get their thoughts on the win. And this was actually even in the win. This was in the midst of the Heat being in overtime with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about what the Heat have done this year. And Charles Barkley was saying how he thinks that Toronto and Miami are the two most surprising teams in the East so far this season. And then Shaq was saying, you know, Shaq being Heat culture, Heat lifer that he is, was given a lot of praise to the Heat, but then but Chuck coming in over the top with some praise for Bam.
I'm not surprised with Miami. I'm just saying.
You're not surprised at all.
No,
yeah, man, why are you wearing guys, that Duds hat?
Like Hero Champion and hat. Nunn and Duncan Robinson, those because guys are all big-time contributors.
Yeah.
Hero?
Because, you know, with the Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley team, you're always going to get guys that play disciplined. They're not a wild team. They play good. Jimmy Butler is an all-star. He's an all-star that plays like a great player. He's keeping everybody involved. And they're just playing hard.
But
hold on. And you always say, if you play hard, you can win at least six out of ten.
I agree. But I got to say this, though.
Playing hard gets you 50.
But watching Miami play.
Playing hard with talent gets you 50.
Watching Miami play. This kid, Bam Adebayo, is a monster.
Yeah, he's hard.
Yeah, he is, to me, like, he is the most underrated player. Nobody talks about him. But to me, ooh, Kyle Lowry, that's an awful shot.
It's like us.
He was so distracted by everything. He got distracted by the television. Yeah. He was in the midst of this great dig by Bam, and then Kyle Lowry ruined it.
Hey, wouldn't it be something if they went? Yeah, if they just did that.
He's going out there. This Bam Adebayo, he's a monster. Oh my God. Terrible.
It's like they watch it. They having a conversation, but they really watch a TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going down there, and Chuck has this point, but that's cool.
Watch Miami play. This kid, Bam Adebayo, is a monster.
Yeah, he's hard.
Yeah, he is, to me, like, he is the most underrated player. Nobody talks about him, but to me, ooh, Kyle Lowry, that's an awful shot.
He just got said, like, I'm not that easy.
He was asked after the game about, Bam was asked about that quote, and he goes, I guess I'm doing something right. I just got to keep doing that. People are starting to notice. I've got to keep going out there, doing my thing, and keep impacting winning. Now, that didn't happen yesterday, because he got paid by that German fella. But he is a lot. I mean, what he's doing this year, I think, has been, I think, certainly in line with some of the expectations we've heard from people in the Heat organization. But I think from people outside the Heat organization, has probably exceeded their expectations of what he's doing this year, especially with what he did to Pascal Siakam in that game.
Yeah.
You know, because that, I mean, Siakam's that been one of the stories of the league.
Siakam has definitely been one of the stories of the game. You think at some point that's kind of what Bam would be?
I mean, the shooting has to get a lot better.
A
lot better. But he is starting to get those. He's starting to get those little moves just outside the paint.
Right.
He's working
his way out.
You can start seeing it starting to come along. He doesn't have quite the pure confidence to just pull up and start hitting jumpers yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think Siakam's at right now. But the moves are starting to come. Like he had one to start the game yesterday where he had a stop and go right to the rim. I think it was actually on Jaylen Brown. It was either Brown or Tatum. I can't remember which one, but it was a really nice move to start the game. We just need more of that. You're just starting to see flashes of it.
Right.
So that was cool to hear. Now, something that wasn't cool yesterday was LeBron James. Now, this was a crime. This was a crime against basketball.
I mean, come on.
That
wasn't as bad as Russell Westbrook.
No, it was because Russell Westbrook got caught. Russell Westbrook's awful travel against the Warriors that you're talking about when he was on the Thunder. They called that because everybody was looking at him like, hey, that's a travel.
How about the guy on the set? I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. It was. But, like, I've seen worse.
You see worse, but they get called.
No, not always. Not always.
It was it was bad. Here's LeBron James after the game. Like, if you haven't seen it, I'll retweet it so you guys can see it at my Twitter account. But you guys, it was... He's bringing the ball up the court, and then he then just stops dribbling, walks three steps, and then starts dribbling again. And Bogdanovich is just looking at him like, hey. He's like looking at the ref like, hey, man, we going to call this? And as Leroy's saying, the Jazz fans are going nuts. One dude is just doing the...
Yeah, like, get your roll on.
It was a travel and a double dribble.
It was crazy. And nobody called it. Here's LeBron after the game.
Probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. I didn't even realize I did it until halftime, to be honest. One of my coaches showed me. I didn't even realize I did it. I think at the same time, I was watching the underneath play, and KCP and Donovan got into it. KCP started to run, and then Donovan bumped into him. He fell on the ground, and I think I was ready to pass the ball. And my brain just kind of just, I just had a malfunction. I really had a malfunction. So, you know, I felt bad for the refs on that one because, you know, they probably get a write-up on that one. That was pretty bad.
I mean, these refs, they're having a rough week with missing, knowing what and what is out of bounds and what is not out of bounds, and the referees knowing what is. Was that the same crew? It's probably a far travel for them, so yeah. It probably was a little bit far, but wouldn't be surprised if that's the same crew that didn't know that Norman Powell's leg was out of bounds when he hit a three.
By the way, did you just hear LeBron trying to sneak in his memory stuff in there?
Oh yeah, of course. My brain had a malfunction. How could it, LeBron? You're a supercomputer when you have Dave McMenamin teeing you up for memory questions after the finals. It's like, listen, I know we just got our ass kicked, but let me tell you about the last 19 plays that just happened, huh? And then I'm going to show up after the finals we lose, and I'm going to have a soft cast on my hand because I punched a wall game one. All very convenient. Now, this was funny.
Do you even like LeBron?
Oh, yeah. Good guy. I'm not Team Petty anymore. I'm a different guy.
We're journalists, though.
Cleveland LeBron I didn't like. But this LeBron, I'm fine with. Lakers LeBron, they're a good team. They're a problem, man. Leroy's leaving to go get his empanadas.
I thought he was leaving because he said you're not Team Petty anymore.
Yeah, I thought, well, I'm not. I'm not Team Petty against the Lakers. I don't care about the Lakers. Now, I am going to be annoyed if there's a bunch of 7-year-olds that show up to the game next Friday and they're all wearing LeBron Laker jerseys. Again, these are the same Joker kids that were showing up with the Steph Curry jerseys. Don't do that.
With the start time moved up because of the stupid Warriors?
Yeah, be a good parent and buy your kid a Vice Wave jersey for Christmas. Enough with this nonsense of letting them just ride whatever bandwagon, all right? Get him a Jimmy Butler jersey, a Bam Adebayo jersey, a Tyler Hero jersey. It's enough of this nonsense. Oh, but Dad, all the cool kids like LeBron. Yeah, you know what? LeBron was cool in 2010 and 2014. That's when. That was his window of cool, son. Now we move on. Now you know who you like? You like Kelly Olynyk. That's it.
Duncan Robinson.
Ira's ready to join us next, so we're gonna call him up a little bit early, get Ira on the phone. We'll talk about that. Loss the Heat had, but a really excellent road trip that they had as well. We'll talk to Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel, joins us each Thursday. We'll get to him next. Can you feel the heat down in your soul? I feel the heat down in my soul. Can you see? Welcome back, everybody. Before the end of today's show, we will give away a pair of tickets to Five Finger Death Punch.
Or Kill Bill.
We'll also talk to UFC Hall of Famer. Is he a UFC Hall of Famer? You know what? He might have a gripe with Dana White. UFC legend, Tito Ortiz.
Wasn't he at the last fight we went to?
He wasn't. No, it was like two fights ago. It was
two fights ago? Okay.
Yeah, we ended up at the Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right before it started. We'll go to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. Heat lost to the Boston Celtics last night, 112-93. Ira Winderman joins us now, as he does each and every Thursday. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sorry to call you after the rare loss, but if ever there was a scheduling loss, last night was it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a theme of the year. Is the second out of the back to back. It's the Heat haven't been able to pull one out yet, but you know, I did sense, and I don't know if you did, but just as the game was going on, I felt like Jimmy was getting could tell by the body language, barking at some certain guys, especially the young guys, that he was expecting a lot more guys from the floor. I don't know if that's why he decided to stay out there during a 20-point blowout. But I was really curious to hear what his tone was going to be after the game. And it was kind of in line with what I expected, which was he was pretty disappointed that they weren't able to close out better the road trip, even though it was a successful one.
He's the kind of guy who expects to win every single game. Don't start with him at adversity and your coach wasn't there because it's the birth of his son or it's a back-to-back or your third straight road game or you've played 8 more road games than home games to this point. He doesn't want to hear that. That's not how he's wired. And he does have more expectations. And I said this all along. Everything has been hunky-dory so far with, there's an old man phrase, with Jimmy to this point. Sorry. But you know what, Leroy? You always want to take measure of a player as a teammate when things get tough, when there's a losing streak, whether it's two or three in a row. We haven't had that yet. I'm waiting for that because you know what? There can be patience with younger players when it's going good. Guys, this started at the end of regulation against Toronto when I believe it was Duncan Robinson was supposed to come off a curl for a jump shot and Jimmy was waiting and waiting. There's no way Jimmy wanted to end regulation with a three-point heave in a tie game. So if you notice when he walked off the court after the fourth quarter of Toronto, he had the glare, the glower already. He was already making a statement to his teammates. That continued yesterday. Yeah, you know what happened? Because they started so well, I think his expectations rose to, okay, we're going to get back in the playoffs, to instead, no, we're going to make some noise right now. And then when it goes south a little bit, he's expecting more from these kids, and he's letting them know that. As far as him staying at the end of the game last night, though, I think that was part two of the equation. I don't think that Deion Waiters is actually a member of this team. Like, I'm still wondering if under the warm-up there's an actual jersey or not.
Spo sent down the code red.
I just don't get it. You know, clearly last night to me was a statement. If you were going to try to convince me that there wasn't a doghouse and that Deion Waiters and James Johnson weren't in it, when you're in a 20-point game with 3 minutes to go and you've been on the road and guys are exhausted, you put them in there, and instead you have Tyler Hero checking back in as sort of your time filler at the end. I almost wonder if Eric Spoelstra left orders before he left, don't play Deion. I'll handle that on my own terms. Very, very curious. Deion didn't go out for pregame shooting, got in his uniform very late before the game. There's something else going on there. It's the old sort of, you know, double secret probation kind of thing, but there clearly is a part B to that equation.
Yeah, I mean, I have been thinking, though, like, it is weird that the Kendrick Nunn slump has kind of come right in line with Deion Waiters being physically on the bench. So I do wonder if there's a little bit from Kendrick wondering if job's in jeopardy, because it's been I know that he's had a shooting slump during this year already, but the fact that it comes right in line with Deion returning to the bench, like, they have the similar skill set, and, you know, maybe there's just vibes of worried about somebody breathing down his neck to take his position.
Yeah, or maybe it's because it came against really good teams. You know, I mean, look, Brooklyn, I know, is uneven record-wise, but they were a good team, and Kenny Atkinson stretches defense. We know Toronto does under Nick Nurse. We certainly know that Boston does under Brad Stevens. So let's be honest. Next three games right now, Washington Friday, American Airlines Arena, Chicago on Sunday, Atlanta, who everyone scores 900 points against on Tuesday. If he doesn't break out of the slump against those three, then changes maybe need to be made. But honestly, if he's looking over his left shoulder at Deion Waiters, I would look over his right shoulder at Tyler Hero, because I think if the Heat are going to make a switch in the starting lineup, I think it's more likely that Tyler Hero gets his chance. Look, guys, I've said this all along. If you want to grow your young talent, you grow young talent through adversity as well. So if Kendrick Nunn gets in a shooting slump, I think if you're taking the long view with him or the long view with Tyler Hero, you let them play through it because they're part of your future. You don't penalize them. You know, you have to see how do players react in times of adversity. We're going to see it now with Kendrick Nunn. We've seen it a little with Tyler Hero. But they're your future. There is no future with Deion Waiters. Right now, I really wonder about the conditioning. And they're downplaying popcorn gate on the bench the other day when he was, you know, sitting next to Justice Winslow and eating popcorn. And everyone screen captured it and sent it to me. But, you know, it's just the optics were so bad there again. If you know you're on double super secret probation, don't you know the cameras are going to be on you at all time and at all times and that fans are going to keep an eye out on you?
Yeah, you know, Ira, my question is this, is that, you know, Jimmy Butler is Heat culture and he's a hard worker and he demands it of everybody. But doesn't he have to show a level of patience because he's dealing with younger players and guys who in about a month or so have going to play more basketball than they've ever played in a season?
I think, Leroy, what he has to show is that he's taking an active interest in their careers. So, look, players do it in different ways. You know what? When he grouses and grumbles at them, it means he's still paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. The difference is when you go to a teammate and you tell him you've got to be better or why'd you do that, to me, that's a man. when you go to your coach and say, take these guys out of here, you've seen guys do that. You know, mm-hmm. LeBron did that all the time. Mm-hmm. LeBron spent his entire Heat career telling Eric Spoelstra to take Mario Chalmers out of the game. And the last game of that playoff series, Ray Allen started and he got him out of the game. So to me, that's the difference. If Jimmy's going to be a man and directly let them know what he thinks they should be doing, good for him, and I think good for those guys. That's the way you learn. It's the guys who play the behind-the-scenes kind of thing, you know, and smile to your face and stab you in the back that I worry about a little more. If nothing else, Jimmy Butler is transparent. He doesn't hide anything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't smile and stab at the same time.
What did you make of the road trip? Like, do you feel like you learned more about the Heat team that you didn't know with them just kicking the crap out of everybody at home? Like, coming away 2-3 out of these games, what was the biggest impression that was left on you?
I wanted to see stone cold Jimmy Butler. I wanted to see Jimmy Butler at clutch time, crunch time, which we haven't seen. It seems like every game has been a blowout one way or the other. So he showed that to me in Brooklyn. He showed that to me in Toronto. I wanted to see what's the ultimate upside for Jimmy if he has to be offensive guy. He showed me that in Boston. So I think the takeaway from the trip from a Jimmy Butler perspective is very encouraging, because now I know that, yes, there is no question about the man at the moment. Brooklyn and Toronto took care of that. And even though that shot, that might be the flattest shot, I don't know, this side of Kawhi Leonard, but somehow he got those three-pointers in, so it's not how you do it. It's just as long as you do it. My takeaway is, if it was any other team on the third night on the back-to-back third night of the trip, I think they could have gotten away with a sweep, because they were competitive. They were up 11 early. But you look at their back-to-backs. I mean, the first one they ended against Minnesota, when Minnesota was red hot. Yep. The second one they ended against the Lakers, obviously the best team in the NBA. The third one against the Sixers, one of the top teams in the East. And now the fourth one against the Celtics, now one of the top teams in the East. Here's the crazy thing. And what's back-to-back number five? It's Friday night at home, a week from tomorrow, against the Lakers, followed by Saturday against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Whoever set up this schedule, not only is every second game on the road, but it's against an elite NBA team. Goran stopped me in the locker room yesterday. He goes, when do we get to finish at home on a back-to-back? Like, and I told him, Goran, you have three straight upcoming back-to-backs where it's home and home. You can sleep in your own bed. The situation Philly was in the last time they played the Heat. This will all come around, but I'm telling you right now, I don't want to say there's critical games so early in the season, but these upcoming three against Washington, Chicago, and Atlanta are really important, because, like I said, the two that follow are the Lakers and the Mavericks.
Ira, I'm confused by it. I don't understand how they could have a schedule where they play Wednesday or play on a Saturday, then don't play till Wednesday, and then have all these back-to-backs. Why don't you just have like a all-star break and then have another break for the whole league and not have all these back-to-backs? Because it's ridiculous. They've had four back-to-backs already?
They tell you it's scheduling. They say, look at where they finished their back-to-back so far this season, with the exception of Minnesota. They finished in Staples. They finished in Philadelphia. They finished now in Boston. Those are also hockey rinks. They have multiple teams.
Right.
They say it's a scheduling factor for those teams. The Heat don't face that. You can space out the schedule. But I totally agree with that. I can't stand anything more than seeing a three-day break on a schedule and then a back-to-back shortly thereafter. It makes no sense. But you know what? These guys are all about making money. A lot of these teams own their own arenas or have partnerships, so it's about maximizing outside profits. To me, the whole thing, the crazier thing than that, Leroy, is until this upcoming trip, the Heat had yet to play a homestand of more than two games. They literally have been unpacking and repacking every time. Now they come home for four in a row. I think this is the first time they actually get to breathe a little bit on their schedule.
Right.
And they really need to take three or four on this homestand.
Before we get you out of here, Ira, you just posted your quarter season grades for the Miami Heat. You guys can go check those out at SunSentinel.com. Well, who was the hardest to grade, in your opinion, on the team so far?
You know what? He's been so up and down. Like, it really depended on the moment I filed this, because Justice Winslow has had A and A-plus games, and Justice Winslow has had D and F games, and I just wonder now if that's inconsistency or sort of incompleteness as a player. If I would have done this like on two sides, like if it was a football team, and graded them defensively and offensively, just as I would give a B-plus to an A defensively, but offensively, you know, it's still worrisome. He's all over the place. He can be awful on offense. So he was a real question mark to me. Kelly Olynyk, the same thing, mostly because of his offensive game. There's good Kelly, there's bad Kelly, and until the game starts, I don't know which one I'm getting. The Heat have a lot of guys in the middle. I put Kendrick Nunn in the middle with a B. Tyler Hero there. Those are the guys who need to pick it up a little bit more to take the Heat from a good team to an elite team. So I almost think, like, in the balance, those four guys, if Hero, Nunn, Olynyk, and Winslow were on their game, the Heat's a very good team. When they're off the game, the Heat's a very average team. And you look at the East, if you think Milwaukee and Philadelphia are 1 and 2, if you at least say right now Toronto and Boston look like 3 or 4, you know what, guys? All of a sudden, the Heat lost last night. They fell to 5, only one game ahead of number 6 Indiana. So this is going to be a struggle. I think the Heat will have a very good record. I can't guarantee it'll have a very good seed. And as you guys know, there's a huge difference between home Heat and road Heat.
Yep.
One more thing before we get you out of here. I know injury updates are probably as hard to get any information out of the Heat as anybody. How bad is the Goran groin strain? Do you think it will see him again on the homestand, or is this going to linger a while?
I do not. I think at 33 years old with a groin strain, I think you have to be very careful. So I think he gets the week off. I think the fact, as Leroy knows, just getting out of the cold weather with that kind of injury will help a ton by getting him back in South Florida. I have a question for you, because I was sitting next to Anthony Chang when this happened, and we were trying to find phrasing. So Goran has that stim pad on, you know, as he's treating his injury during shoot-around the other day in Toronto. And I go to Anthony, I go, we really should say he's wearing an electronic device on his groin. And Anthony goes to me, well, why? I go, because, guys, am I wrong? It just doesn't sound right to say Goran Dragic was sitting on the side wearing a stimulation device on his groin.
Yeah, that's a,
it's a,
yeah, you know.
You know what you call it? Yeah. A TENS unit.
Yeah, you might want to go.
Yeah, well, if people knew what that meant, that was fine. But I figured if I said, oh, Goran's on the sideline stimulating his groin, it just doesn't sound right, guys.
You might have to go hockey, like lower body there.
Yeah. Yes,
lower body, just leave it there and just leave it for another day. But no, I would not expect him to homestand. I just think they've been so cautious with him from playing him off the bench in this kind of approach. They'll need him for bigger games like this.
Especially
if you can't beat the Wizards.
Especially as much as they're going to need him in the future, they can't rush him back.
Yes. And if you can't beat the Wizards, the Bulls, and the Hawks without him, then you're not who you think you are.
Appreciate the time, Ira.
Thanks, Ira.
State Charles back.
Hey, got to go put my stimulation device on. Thank you, guys.
It's Ira Windeman. We're going to talk to UFC legend Tito Ortiz next hour. Robbie will get you caught up with your headlines next. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.